Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Brandy M and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, September 10th. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 84, fourth line, starting with, we will lose interest in selfish things, ending with, self-seeking will slip away. Today's readers are Jess S for the 12 steps. Suzanne T for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Penny LC, Christina J, and Julie EB. Alice G will be our newcomer reader, and Betsy H will do announcements. The reference numbers for Thursday, September 9th for the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Standard Time, is 17,714. That's 17714. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17,722. That's 17722. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jess S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. This is Jess S., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin, recovered for today. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Jess. All right, I'll now ask Suan T to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Suan.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Suan T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Fresno, California. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater, overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 84, fourth line, starting with, we will lose interest in selfish things, and ending with, self-seeking will slip away. I will now ask Penny LC to begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Promises. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. And when I read those lines, I can so easily reflect back to the bedevilments and how when I first came to program, I was so full of the bedevilments, especially having trouble with personal relationships. Why? Because I was so selfish and self-seeking. My selfish thoughts and motives and attitudes were all, it was just me thinking about me, what I needed, what I wanted, my self-seeking behaviors and my actions. I was always just acting on my own behalf. You know, what was I going to get out of it? And having done the work in the steps with 1 through 9, being able to see my truth, and now maintaining it with steps 10 through 12, I've been able to go from selfishness to a selflessness, and from self-centered to God-centered, and from self-seeking to seeking what I can do for others. And my giving motive has changed. It used to be I had to do it. I should do it. I'm supposed to do it. And instead, today, I get to do it, and I want to do it, and I'm happy to do it. Oh my goodness. I mean, just such a turnaround. And that's thanks to my higher power. And I've gone from giving from my head, because what will I benefit from by doing it, to giving from my heart that pure place of seeking and following my higher power's will for me, to be of service to others, but also to be of service to myself. When I'm thinking of myself now, it's for the purpose of self-care, which allows me to fill my cup to overflowing, and then I can be giving from that overflow. Such a different approach to life when I'm aligning myself with my higher power, and that service and self-sacrifice for others comes much more easily. I'm much more willing to make that my focus and to look for ways that God can use me today. And it's an amazing change, amazing transformation, thanks to working this program and surrendering to my higher power. And thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. All right. So we will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph or this couple lines?
Christina J.
Christina J.
Wendy.
Wendy.
Sherry W.
Sherry W. Anyone else? I know there's more than three people on the line.
Kathleen O. Sorry. I was
Kathleen
muted.
O.
Oh.
Anyone else?
Barbara S. from the book.
Barbara S. Okay, that's a great lineup. So I'll tell you who I have. I have Christina J., Lynn D., Sherry W., Kathleen O., Robin P., and Deborah S. All right, so Christina J., take us away.
Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, and I look forward to hearing the shares on this. My name is Christina J., from the state of Washington, recovered for today by the grace of God. When I think back on when I was introduced to myself and my selfishness, I had no idea until this point. It was in 2014 when I did my first step four. And that's when I got to meet all the ways that were running my life, that were keeping me in the food, keeping me in the dark. Selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, fear. Fear is definitely selfish. I either am afraid of losing something I have or afraid I'm not getting something I want. It's selfish. As I went forward and did 8, 6, 7, 8, and 9, I got humbled. And it's the humbling steps. My pride was put down. But it took me until about 3 years ago to really let go of a lot of my selfishness, not all gone. But my whole life, since I was a child, there was a lot of turmoil in my home, a lot of abuse. And so my whole goal as a young girl up until I left home at 17 was to get mine. I was going to get mine. I was going to prove to the world. I was going to get loved. I was going to be seen. And my whole life was driven by that, all of my life, until the food dropped me, until I couldn't be thin anymore, with no diets would work. Life kept coming at me, coming at me, coming at me. God said, how much more is it going to take for you to see this, hon? Keep touching those hot stoves, baby, and we're going to teach you. Recently, I listened to a book on CD, two of them. One was called Tattoos on the Heart by Father G, Father Greg, and he runs this Homeboy Industries in L.A. Talk about something that brought me to my knees, it broke my heart open. This man is total selfless service. With these gang members and this incarcerated people. And then I listened to one called The King's Cross, which is about the life of Jesus as it compares and interweaves with ours. Here's two great service examples. And it made me cry and cringe and hurt inside, and it brought me to the fact that if I don't do service, if I don't turn my life to service, I got nothing. Everything else turns to dust, people. Everything else turns to dust. Everything I do that's revolved around selfishness, it just leads to an empty pot of gold. And, you know, it wasn't my fault all those years. I didn't know. But now I know. And my heart is yearning to be of more and more service. And so it wasn't for this eating addiction and this 12-step program. I was blessed with this eating addiction because it brought me to this point where I know that the last half of my life, the second half of my life, is going to be about service to others. And I yearn to know God's deeper wish for deeper service for my talents, not so I can be seen, heard, praised, appreciated, blah, blah, blah.
Fine,
so I can
be
the skinniest pants. I mean, I'm at goal weight, and it's no big deal. It doesn't do anything for me, except I'm healthy, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Just a reminder to everyone that we don't mention outside literature during our meeting. And next up is Lynn W., followed by Sherry W.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Lynn D. from San Diego, California. I want to thank everybody for being on this line. I just love the big book because, you know, when I came into program when I was 19, myself was all I had. And, you know, my parents did the best they can with what they had, but it was up to me. And so I thought myself was my best asset. And I thought I was like kicking ass in life and doing it all right. And, you know, except for the food thing. And then when I came into program, it just showed me, my higher power showed me how that just was so wrong. And that I could finally be humble and take myself down a few notches. And then, you know, kind of change what was really going on, getting out of self-denial and being in program, you know. And so I just, you know, self is not my best asset anymore. I try to do everything opposite of it, in fact. And it's not always easy. And my motto this last few, I guess, months or so has been, I don't know everything and more will be revealed. It gets me out of self every time. The other thing that has been sticking in my head is maximum service. And I know we're not there yet, but staying in maximum service, really, it's like that. It's like, it's kind of like a pause for me. I can switch my attitude immediately and be like, oh, wait, we're doing God's will. We're being of maximum service. Like, what am I doing right now that's not aligning with God's will? So anyways, happy Friday, everybody. Thank you for letting me share. Thanks for everybody's service today.
Thank you so much, Lindy. All right, next up we have Sherry W., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Sherry W. here, recovered for today in Nevada. Selfishness was a concept that escaped me. I was always doing for others. It was constant. If you asked me, I would stop in the middle, even, not to be gross, even if I was on the way to the bathroom, I would stop and go do something for you and put myself last. However, at the end of a day, guess what? I sat down with my prizes, what I deserved. I deserve now. Leave me alone, and I get to shove all this food in because of resentment. So selfishness was me not seeing that all those things I did for others was so that I could go and do what I want to do for myself. That was the first part. The second part was selfishness was, I learned that when I was redoing step, not only step 4, but step 10 over and over. and looking at those different categories, selfishness, self-seeking, but all the subcategories. And in my mind, this is how everyone should be behaving. I'm the director and they're not following my script. Well, guess what? I found out. I don't know how they should be behaving. I don't even know what's right for them or what's right for me. I have to ask God. I have God, and they have God if they want him. And it's none of my business. That other part was the codependency. Doing for others was also codependency. My job is to mind my own business, and if asked for help, and I can do it, then I will. But I need to think first and not be selfish. Not be selfish, like, what am I getting out of this? I always said, when you're doing for others, what are you getting out of it, too? You feel good about yourself. Well, it's okay if that's not the number one reason. So selfishness was a concept that I just only recently in the last year totally understood. I'm not in charge. And that's the best part. And I can give everything to God because I don't need it. He wants the good and the bad. So that's all I've got for today. God bless everybody. Thanks for letting me share. And thank you for your service.
Thank you, Sherry W. All right, next up I have Kathleen O, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O in the Sierra Foothills, and we are actually getting a little bit of rain this morning. Thank you, God. California needs it. Okay, so this reminds me of the sentence in the Big Book, selfish and self-centered. That we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. So, you know, prior to being in program and working these steps, I was pretty miserable. And, you know, I was in fear all the time. I was in resentments all the time. I would spend days holding on to resentments and just not being happy. And to work these steps and to realize I don't have to do that anymore, it really is, there's such freedom in that. It's like, you know, these promises after doing these steps, they bring freedom, they bring joy. Even in hard times, you know, I can get through them. And at the end of the day, it's a better day than it was when I was in the food and being in selfish, you know, being selfish all the time. I mean, I'm human, so I'm going to do that sometimes. I go there sometimes. That's what causes resentments, and usually because I'm being selfish. I want things my way. I want people to do things my way, say things my way. And today, you know, when that happens, I can get out of that really quickly. And then what's left? Well, what's left is to have a heart full of gratitude, being able to do something for other people, helping other people, being useful. You know, I really believe that's what we're all put here for. And it's a great lesson to learn. So when, you know, I don't like saying, had I made a choice, had I a choice to be a compulsive overeater or not, I would have chosen not to. But that whole thing about being a grateful one is because I never would have found this part of life if I hadn't found the steps and this program. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. All right. Next up, I have Robin P., followed by Barbara S. Good morning, Robin P.
Good morning. Hi, this is Robin P. I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much for your service. It's really good to hear everybody. Thank you so much. You know, I was thinking how self-centered fear is being like a, it is selfishness, you know, and I always thought it was right, you know, and faith without works is dead, and work without faith is also dead for me. And so, you know, I feel like I really get to practice being in faith and being in service to God and my fellows And when I just, every time I catch myself in self-centered fear, because there's so much going on the planet right now that if someone wanted to indulge in that, there would be plenty of excuses to. And I just keep catching myself and going, oh my gosh, this is self-centered fear. This is selfishness, to be in fear instead of faith in God. And it's also making me look at my faith in God. You know, really, I really get to practice faith. This is a faith walk. That's what this is for me. And, you know, here in very peaceful Costa Rica, I still get to practice peace in my head. And that's the way I can be a maximum service to God and my fellows, is to be a light. And, you know, there are people here, we're all, you know, people are learning to plant food and all kinds of things, you know, getting their own wells. And I think that it's really good to take actions, but in faith and listening and still being of service to God and my fellows. And we're about to fly on Monday back to Florida to see my mom for 5 days and get some other things done, do a border run. And, you know, the whole thing is just, it's, I get to be of faith and remember to be of service to God and my fellows. And then all else is well. When I live in the steps, I'm good. Turning my will and my life over to the care of God, praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. It just keeps it simple. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. All right. Before we take Barbara, I'm just going to remind everyone where we are. So we're on page 84 of the Big Book, fourth line, starting with, we will lose interest in selfish things, ending with, self-seeking will slip away. So if you'd like to share, please get ready after Barbara. Barbara, go ahead and share with us.
Hi, this is Barbara S. from New York. So very thankful. Thank you, God, for this meeting, for these reminders. Many years, I never thought I was selfish. I thought I was the victim. I went through a very tragic childhood. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm good. Me, 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 me. Program has, you know, I'm holding in tears, has made me hear other people, helped me see other people, helped me, and I'm still working on it, really still working on it, getting closer to my higher power. I lost any abstinence I had 2 days ago. Now it's 2 days of being abstinent. I said one day before, but it's two. And I have to tell my sponsor, I was telling her I was sliding, but and then she said, I want to stay with you. And it was just selfish of me. I have a wishy-washy way. I'm afraid to say I'm sorry. You know, I'm afraid somebody's going to be mad at me. Me, 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 me. Somebody's going to be mad. I can't do this. I can't do that. Somebody's going to be mad. This program is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It just reminds me it's not only me in this world. I mean, it's part of me is still 7 years old, and I'm thankful to be sharing now. I'm thankful to be hearing people. I'm thankful for starting to love people and understand that we are all in this together in different ways. So on that note, I can't think of anything else to say except thank you, God, and thank you for this meeting. I pass.
Well, thank you so much. Just keep coming back. All right, so we'll take another lineup. If you've shared within the last 3 days, we ask that you hold off and give others a chance to share. So go ahead.
Hi, this is Joan from R.
Joan R., thank you. Anyone else?
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. Anybody else? We have time, guys. And
Christine G.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So I have Joan R., Sherry H.M., and Christine G. Go ahead, Joan R., share with us. Star one to unmute.
Hi, my name is Joan R. from Oregon. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, overeater. And this promise this morning is an answer to prayer, an answer to what I'm going through right now with my husband being ill in an ICU, and the strength of this program and knowing my own selfishness and seeing it is so helping me. And my heart is really filled with gratitude for everything that everyone shared on just one line of these beautiful promises. And I just encourage any newcomers that it's truth. As you work these steps, as you be abstinent, live in steps 10, 11, 12, you will live a new life, and you will be able to deal with your own selfishness, like it says immediately. We take that to God, and we ask God to remove it. And so with that, I'll pass, and thank you so much for everyone who shared, who serves, and who is in love with their higher power. Thanks.
Thank you, Joan R. All right, Sherry H.M., followed by Christina G. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry, star one to unmute. All right, I'm not sure what happened to Sherry. Let's come back to her. Christina G., can you share with us?
This is Christine G.
Christine G.,
can I be heard?
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm claiming my seat today, grateful to be here. I'm traveling, so it's just so good to be reinforcing my program and doing the next right thing, and I'm headed off to go buy my vegetables for the day because that's how I protect myself. And I'm really just claiming my seat, grateful. Thank you for your service, and oh, I'm so grateful for this program that I can live happy, joyous, and free. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Sherry H.M., are you with us?
Good morning. Sorry about that. This is Sherry H.M. From Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And gosh, I was pressing the pound one because I haven't had enough coffee, I guess. Wow, this is amazing because without my program, I have my black belt in self-pity. And self-pity is really, you know, the enemy, because if I'm really living about God and doing His will instead of my own little plans and ideas and thoughts and what I wanted, then, you know, it's really all about self. It's really all about the Sherry show. So that's not really why I'm here. For some reason, God was able to keep this universe together before I was born. It's amazing, but true. So most things are, you know, none of my business. I'm just here to serve, not to be absorbed in self. So I'm really grateful for all of you guys, and I'm so grateful for God for putting this into my life. And thanks for your service. Take care.
Thank you, Christine, or sorry, Sherry. All right, so I'll just remind everyone where we're at because we do have some time for some more shares. So we're on page 84, fourth line, starting with we will lose interest in selfish things and ending with self-seeking will slip away. Who would like to share on that?
Nadia B.
Lynn M. in Washington State.
Nadia B. Lynn M.
Shannon M.
Oh, Shannon.
Landy B.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Landy B.
Landy?
Yes.
Okay.
Evan R.
Evan R. Anyone else? Okay.
Dana P.
We'll go with, oh, Dana P. Dana. Okay. So, Nadia B., share with us, please.
Thank you so much, Brandy, for your service. As I'm reading, you know, selfishness will slip away and we will gain interest in our fellows. And, Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. So that's what I was thinking. You know, I wanted to, you know, I thought that what this said was I'm never going to have a selfish thought ever again. And I'm just going to be on this. You know, I'm just going to always be thinking about someone else. And that's not how it is for me today in recovery. And so I just wanted to say it if this helps someone when you, you know, have gone through the steps and you still have a selfish thought, I do too. It doesn't transform or translate into selfish actions all the time. So my selfishness, my motive for why I do things that I do, why I sometimes say yes to where I should have said no, you know, sometimes because I want to be liked, or I want to pay back, or I expect someone else to do something back for me. And those are things that, you know, those are selfish thoughts that I sometimes still have. You know, if you do this for me, then I'm going to do that for you. And, those thoughts still pop up. But for me, steps, you know, 10, 11, and 12 keep me in self-knowledge, self-awareness. I am aware of those thoughts, and I will, and God, you know, kind of, you know, I'm weaned off those thoughts. More and more, I don't act on them. And I have more interest in my fellows. Not because sometimes I want to, or I am this, you know, saint, but because this is what I do when I trust my God. When I trust my God, my selfishness diminishes. My motives of or being afraid of you not liking me or not doing for me something, you know, slips away. And I am gaining interest in you as a result. So God makes more room in my heart, through self-knowledge, through, you know, and sometimes it is self-sacrifice to me. I just see the progression of my recovery rather than progression of my disease. And I'm so grateful for doing this, trudging this road with you one day at a time. With that all said.
Thank you so much, Nadia. I'm so glad that you mentioned that we never rise above the level of human. And we're not unselfish all the time. Good reminder. Thank you. All right. So next up with us is Shannon. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. I'm Shannon M., a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic in Washington State. And I'm not currently on step 9, but the for me personally, the understanding the depth to which selfishness and self-centeredness has run throughout my life has been so instrumental in coming back from relapse that it was on my heart to share a little bit of that process, because I have been in, you know, the rooms working the steps multiple times for 11 years, and I'm grateful for all of that step work. I think it was necessary in a lot of ways, because my experience has been that all those years, a lot of my understanding of my selfishness was very theoretical and intellectual, and I would work on the my part of the column of the fourth step, and I knew what the selfishness was, I knew what the self-centeredness was, but somehow it had not really entered into my heart as an understanding that I am that selfish and I am that self-centered and I need a personality change sufficient to help me get out of the food. And I couldn't remember how the end of that line went, but anyway, this last relapse, you know, food is the great convincer. You know, somebody else, I've had people tell me how selfish I was, and I couldn't hear it a lot of the time, but food was the great convincer. And as I've been working the steps, I just gave away step 5, and I'm working on step 6 right now. And as I was working on this step 5, a lot of stuff came up that has shown up on inventories before, but my understanding of the selfishness of what I was doing has really deepened, and I understand that I haven't really made amends for this stuff. I've talked about it on inventories, but the true amends and the changed behavior, that has eluded me for a long time, and I'm really grateful for all the shares this morning on selfishness. And, you know, I've heard some amazing things recently as I've been going through some big book studies, like, you know, while I'm in this period of the steps, I don't criticize at all. So, you know, I've had opportunities the last few days, because I have family in town, to feel the desire to criticize and to put that down, because criticism is just, you know, that's a selfish, there's selfish motives behind that.
Time, please.
I've had the, with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Landy B. Good morning, Landy.
Good morning. My name is Landy B. in Arizona. Grateful for this meeting and realizing my selfishness that's crept back in. One thing I said, well, okay, I'm selfish if I don't share in this meeting, and I've been taking so much from it. Thank you all so very much. And then I've had this self-centered need to get all the information I can get, all the knowledge about what's going on, so I can take care of myself. And I realized that I'm dying, and so self-centered in that I'm just totally isolating myself. And so, and doing the 10th step helped me see this selfishness and to realize that I need to get back into life and back into in-person meetings, which I did last night, and offering to be of service in helping people work the steps and just being in present and being available to my neighbors to do things. And I have decided in my service person to invite the newcomers in my neighborhood over to for a get together to meet. And then I got into my selfish, self-centeredness fear, and it was like, oh, you know, how will I look and how will it turn out? And I have to get back into that. I'm doing it to be of service and to help others, and that takes the fear away and replaces it with joy. Thank y'all so much for all that your service of being here for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Landy. All right, next up we have Evan R., followed by Dana P. Good morning, Evan.
Hi, Evan here, recovered compulsive overeater, Southern California, right outside LA. Feel obligated to tell everyone I listen to 95% of the meetings, coming up on 18 months of continuous abstinence after about 6 years in the program. But my story with this one, and I realized with the steps too, is that they're in order for a reason. Like my first meeting ever, I went and they had the steps all on the wall, and you scrolled down, it says, you know, you had to carry this message to other compulsive readers. And I freaked out. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to help anybody. I just really wanted to help myself. And skipping the step 12 for me was a big mistake because the steps are in order for a reason. So by the time I actually got to step 12, I realized, yeah, this promise starts to come true. It wasn't something that just instantly became true for me. I think now where I'm at is I still have interest in selfish things, but I don't think about myself all the time. And that allows me to be more present for other people. And if I have a day where I'm not talking to someone about recovery or not helping someone, and I work in health anyway, so if I'm not providing service at some point, I feel incomplete. Whereas before it was, if I didn't follow my diet plan and do my 3-hour workout, then I didn't feel complete. So it really has changed my mindset. So if anyone out there is kind of struggling, I feel like steps are in order for a reason. The last step is the service step. So when you get there, you're going to have a lot more better experience with wanting to help people. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. All right. So finally, we have Dana P. Share with us.
Thank you, Brandy. Dana P. I'm here in California. Wow. Self-seeking will slip away and we will gain interest in our fellows. What a beautiful promise. You know, I used to think I was so selfless, so giving, and I was just so busy. And even here on the line, I was so busy with trying to figure out what I was going to say, how I was going to respond. And one of the things that I learned is talk less, listen more. Talk less, listen more. And that really, really, really speaks to my relationship with my higher power. You know, God, I want, give me. And what I've found, and I knew this in my mind, but I didn't really understand it in my heart, was listen more. And ask that question, God, how would you have me be? And listen, and the answers come. Most beautiful, beautiful thing that I realized more recently is something about my sister. And it really gave me an amazing revelation as to the human being that she is, the beautiful human being that she is, a generous nature. And I have to work at it, you know, to be generous and kind. And what came to me was that, wow, God changed my heart. I didn't do it. And it was literally that self-seeking, I have to be right. I think I know. Just somehow magically, but certainly there was work that I did. But it was really the seventh step. You know, God, I give this to you. Take away all of these character defects so that I can be more service to you and my fellows. And that's what it comes down to, really, for me, is just to let that all go and let God take care of it, or the God of my understanding anyway, because I don't know what your God wants for you. And I thought I did. You know, I was so busy trying to tell people what it was that I knew and what I'd discovered, and you know, what a big mess that was. So, you know, I'm just going to ride the wave and let God take me down that river, and I get to see the beautiful scenery as I go, and be quiet and listen to the river flowing. So thank you so much for calling on me, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much. All right, that's all the time we have for today. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Christina J., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, Christina J., and I want to apologize for mentioning the outside literature earlier. I forgot. Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.